All right, you're on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And, wow, alone today. Just you alone with me. Very sad. What will we do, Drew?
I don't know.
Do the show, everybody. Relax, you dirty fuckers. All right. Thank you to all of our patrons for continuing to support the show. We really appreciate it. It helps us not just keep the show going, but it helps us provide community service to not just our community, but also the communities that we go and train in. When we travel, people don't always know this, but we do Stop the Bleed classes and things like that for free in communities anytime we go anywhere to do training. And part of the way we do that is with the funds from the patrons here on the show. So thank you to our patrons for being able to help us out with that. We really do appreciate it. The extra show for this month will be done today for all of our $10 and above patrons. So don't forget to take a listen to that. I wanted to share with you guys some of the emails that came to us when I told all of you all to email us. I think I said just fucking do it like I normally do to encourage you to actually email us. And you did. We got a lot of great emails. Thank you to all of you who emailed us. Some of you just emailed us simply, hey, thanks for the show and keep it up. And some of you guys sent me fucking multiple paragraphs. And some of you guys just sent some really good points. And some of these things I wanted to share just so that I found value in them. And so I wanted to share them so that the rest of you guys could maybe find some value in them as well. So starts with this message, which said, I didn't think of tapping water from the canal, mostly because if the shit hits the fan, I would hope to be out of the valley, talking about getting out of the Phoenix area. The Grail, and that's G-A-R-Y-L. It's this badass filtration system that's in its own bottle. It's probably the best, I think. But this person says, the Grail is a relatively new water purification device that I now carry in my hunting pack, particularly when I'm up north and might have access to a water source. So the whole thing was to just think about, you know, look around at your water sources. You know, there is water in parks. There is water in canals. There is water hanging out in areas where we may not traditionally think to go to drink water. It's obviously going to have to be purified. Things like the Grail do a really good job at that after you have, you know, filtered them through some kind of, you know, sifter. But other really great things to consider are the Berkey systems. The Berkey Black series of filtration systems will take out like the chlorine in your pool. So if you've got a lot of water and you really want to filter it cleanly, don't forget about better filtration systems. You know, you're not just going to grab a $20 Life Straw and be able to filter enough of this water. It's not going to work. And so you want to get, you know, big filtration systems. Think of the hanging filtration systems, you know, the gravity-built ones. I've got a couple of those, the Platypus, the NSR. I've used both of those. They're great. So just things to think about, again, from a water source. I was having this discussion with a student a couple weeks ago, and the idea is like they're like, yeah, man, but I've got this and that. I'm like, yeah, what are you going to do for water filtration? It's cool that you have all this gun, all these guns and training and ammo and all this, but what are you going to do for water? I mean, water is life, man. We live in the desert. You're going to die without water. And what do you do for that? And it was like, oh, shit, I never really thought about that. You know, yeah, what do you do when the water turns off? Same listener had this really good message to add to that. And that was, I played the recent podcast about parents are not supposed to be friends. They're supposed to be parents to – or he said, I played the recent podcast about that to my kids the other day to reinforce that. My son actually said something later that week that he understood where I was coming from all these years, so he got the message. I would add to that, yeah, that's cool that he heard what we had to say and finally understood some things. Now, please reciprocate that for my kids, okay? Any of you who have any great messages for our kids from 5 to 18 – please send them on over, because you probably are going to say the same shit we would say, but our kids don't listen to us like they'll probably listen to you. And that is just how it goes. It's the same thing with, you know, professional instruction. You know, you're like, man, I've told my kid or I've told my wife or I've told my friend or whatever over and over and over again how to shoot this, and they won't listen to me. And I took them to a class and the instructor said the same damn thing and they listened to them. What the hell? That is just kids. That familiarity breeds contempt concept.
Yeah,
so
that's just kids.
If you guys have any you know, cool tips that you think our kids should hear, please send them over. I will share them with the show and definitely share them with our kids. So send those helpful life messages over, and we would love to hear what you guys have to say to give advice to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good story just based on the fact that something we said was then applied and used. And he said let me think real quick. Great show this week talking about the gear line system. I think that was last week. He said, a great example just happened to me a couple months ago on an elk trip I was on. Going down a trail, I had a nut come completely off my brand new lift kit I had just installed, and the shot completely dismounted from my truck. And then he goes on to talk about, you know, he had the toolkit, but he didn't have that missing nut. But thankfully, another hunter, you know, helped him out and told him about an auto parts store, and he went there and he got the part, and he was able to salvage the hunt, which is my favorite part at the end, where he said, the day was completely wasted fixing my shock, but instead of ending the trip and going home, my buddy and I were able to get up the following morning, hit the sticks, and bag a bull elk on the very last day of the hunt, so it was a complete success. I love stories that end like that, and this guy was prepared, and so because he was prepared with some basic tools, but also knowledge of how to fix his truck. You can have all the tools in the world. It's like you can have a gun, but if you know how to fight with it, it doesn't matter. If you know how to shoot it, it doesn't matter. And so it's the same concept. You can have a badass toolkit, but obviously, you know, this listener had installed their own lift kit, so they knew something about, you know, working on their own vehicle. And now they have the capability to fix it out in the middle of nowhere. And so that knowledge that goes with tools, don't forget about that, you guys. The line gear system is really great. But don't forget about the training and knowledge that goes along with those concepts. And then he turned what would be for most people an emergency, which is, you know, a nut coming off of this, you know, lift kit that made everything fall apart basically. He turned that from, oh my God, I got to call a wrecker and now the hunt's over kind of situation to a win when he was able to use the tools and the knowledge to fix the problem, get back out there and bag that bull elk. So congratulations to you, you know, man, for being able to see that all the way through. And those are the kind of stories we love hearing. Another story about kind of the line system episode that we did that was great. And this is, again, this is basic shit, right? This isn't cool guy shit. It's like when we talk about medicine, we're like, dude, you're going to do way more with gauze and a bandage and, you know, burn cream than you're ever going to do with tourniquets and chest seals, okay? You're going to do way more with utilizing verbals and movement and maybe a flashlight than you're ever going to do with drawing your handgun and engaging somebody. You're just not going to have to take it to that full level all the time. But it's those little things. It's not just the tools, but also the knowledge of the little stuff too. And so this is another great story about that. And he's talking about putting things in the truck. And he said, I enjoyed listening to Glenn chat about his truck and how he hides equipment inside of the truck. It made me realize I don't have enough tools in my vehicle to be able to do the things I need to be able to do in an emergency. Because of this, I moved a few items around in my vehicle yesterday, including a wrench and a few odds and ends. And sure enough, my battery corrosion created a problem for me last night at the worst possible moment when he was driving from an event with his kid to a gas station just to go to the bathroom. So it's like literally just casual everyday shit, right? Because of the wrench and some of the additional cleaner I'd squirreled away, I was back in business in about 4 minutes instead of having to disassemble and clean the entire battery terminal with a small Leatherman. I've since added a jumper pack to the vehicle as well. So here's a basic just battery corrosion issue that he was like, oh man, look at all this crap. And because he had the right tools and the right knowledge and the right understanding of how this stuff works, he was able to get himself back in operation. And it wasn't some badass situation. He was just trying to go take a piss while his kid was at a class. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But the point being is that it's that little stuff that you're going to use more to get yourself out of a tight situation. Growing up, my daddy always used to say, when I would ask him about preparedness, he would say, we're prepared like this because what other people think of as an emergency is just another day to us. And that was something I carried, you know, for the rest of my life. Like, yeah, man, what other people would think is an emergency to these last two listeners is just another day. And our first guy just in the middle of fucking nowhere fixed his own truck. And second guy, you know, on the side of the road in an urban area is like, hey, no big deal, man. Let me just patch this up real quick, fix this corrosion problem. We're back in business. To where other people be like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. These guys had not just the tools, but the skills.
Yep.
So I wanted to share both of those things with everybody because they had specifically to do with not just tools, but skills and understanding within that gear line system. And that's a critical element that maybe I didn't spend enough time on in the show. And another thing I might not have spent enough time on, which actually came up several times from several listeners after that show, and I want to say thank you to you guys for this, for bringing this to my attention. And that was just incorporating your tribe into kind of that line system. And the a couple different examples were given, everything from, you know, a vehicle breaking down and having capability to store the vehicle there, to having to communicate to somebody that someone else was in the hospital, and that person is then part of a branch network that was able to just call all the appropriate people. So it's this one person who was already under a tremendous amount of stress because a family member was in the hospital, didn't have to sit there and call 12 different family members. They just called this one person who's kind of like the communication person for the family. And so that is a great way to incorporate your tribe kind of sort of in a way into that gear line system as well. And so the tribe isn't like really a part of the gear line system. Honestly, every member of the tribe should have their own gear line system and should be prepared in their own way. But several of you guys brought it up and asked, hey, how come you didn't really, you know, you always talk about incorporating people into your training and people into your preparedness. How come you didn't talk about it here in the gear line system? And so to alleviate some of that, I will just say, make sure you're also not everyone else's plan for survival.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been there where that, you know, that person at work's like, oh, well, if anything ever happens to me, I know I'm just heading over to Glenn's house. And it's like, well, don't forget the Glenn's house is going to have a 100-meter free fire zone around it. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, friend, if you weren't in the circle before it happened, you sure as fuck ain't in the circle after it happens, okay? So make sure that in your family, in your tribe, in your people, to really help them start preparing, to look at the zones of preparation and to look at the gear line system, start getting those people ready as much as they are willing to do so, as much as you can sometimes kind of force them to do so, and as much as they're capable of doing so, so that they can be assets to you in an emergency, and that way they don't think that you're their plan. I know as a dad, you want to be everyone's plan. I want to be all my people's plan. When someone has a problem, I want them to come to me. But nothing satisfies me more than when my kids or Drew or some member of the tribe doesn't have to come to me and is able to just solve some shit on their own and go, hey, look, here's how I fix this on my own. And it's like, fuck yeah, that's what I'm looking for. So other than that, that was some great feedback from you guys. I really appreciate just a few of those emails I wanted to share. But, man, we really did get a lot of emails. And, guys, here's the thing. We really appreciate those emails. We really appreciate your messages. And we get a lot of questions from listeners, especially about, hey, I'm in a such and such area where who should I train with? We don't always have an answer, but sometimes we can help you. And, you know, hey, I'm looking at this, or I'm trying to figure this out, or I'm looking at this piece of equipment, or, you know, what do you guys think about this? I love helping people. It's why I'm in this business to start with. And so if you guys have a question or a comment about a show, or like these other folks, you think you can add something that would benefit us talking about it on the show, a good story or whatever, send it on over. info@trainingaz.com is how you can email us. Send it over to us. We're happy to discuss it. We're happy to share it on the show. If you have a show idea, most of you guys, today's show, again, yet last week's show, again, like the majority of our shows are inspired by our listeners sending us requests. Sometimes it takes a few requests to get us fired up about something, but still, man, if you have a show request, send it on over. We're happy to talk about it. If you have a comment, if you've got a question, whatever, send it on over. We don't mind. If it's something more personal, you know, maybe we'll do the monthly extra show about it. But we're certainly happy for our $10 and above patrons, especially if you guys have show ideas about what you want to hear about. You know, our extra show this month is going to be a more personal thing like it normally is. And we're happy to, you know, look at the topics that you want us to discuss as well. So what's in the news? I don't know. There was shootings at places. Europe is starting to say fuck masks and we're tired of COVID because it's not real and it's not really killing anybody. And America's doubling down on stupid, and the White House is giving away free masks now and the free.
Did you know that?
I wonder how they paid for those.
Did you know? I just found this out last week when I was talking to some people that they charge like $250 for those rapid tests for COVID tests.
Yeah, some of those tests are very expensive.
I did not know that.
It's a whole – it's become a whole sub-industry.
I just don't really care enough to you know.
Well, now there's people who are like, you know, they'll come to you, they'll do an in-person, you know, and it costs you money.
That's crazy.
Some people have to have it, though, to like go to work or, you know, go to the concerts or whatever. And if that's it, man, that sucks. But yeah, that shit can get up there. They're not all that expensive, but yes, they can get up there pretty quickly. I mean, again, it's an entire business. They have entire drive-through areas. I see them not here in Arizona so much, but I've seen, you know, on Instagram videos of,
yeah,
of just miles long.
Well, remember
lines.
That one at the one at Westworld when we used to go run around there, and there's nobody.
There was
there.
Never anybody. We used to run in a certain location up in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we would run past this, and it was just they were always just twiddling their thumbs. We're just waiting for someone to come by. They had all this signage. They made a big deal about it. I never saw anybody there.
Nope.
But it's pretty rare around here. We don't have that kind of stuff.
No.
But that's what it is.
I didn't realize it was that expensive.
Other than that, man, I'm sure we're missing something. But, man, I have such a hard time giving a shit about the news unless it pops up on, you know, my people or
I've
someone sends
so
it to me.
I've been so busy. I haven't even checked. Like, you know how I get those little notifications and sometimes I'll read those, but.
I go from work to playing with the family. Usually then I go back to work after everyone goes to bed and then I pass out sometime early in the a.m. morning hours, and then I get up and I fucking rinse repeat. So I don't sit around and watch the news. I don't give a fuck, I'll be honest. I do care about what's going on in our world, but it's the same shit. I know the direction it's going. I'm working on preparing myself and my people. Redwire gear moment today. Push-pull your magazines. When you're inserting a magazine, push-pull it. Let me say it again. When you're inserting a magazine, push and pull that magazine. One more time for those of you in the back. Push and pull the goddamn magazine. I know that's not how you were taught. I know the Marine Corps didn't teach you how to do that. I know that your dad was a cop for 1,800 fucking years, and he never push-pulled a magazine. He never had one fall out. Let me tell you, I've had magazines fall out. I watch them fall out. In class last night, I watched two different magazines on two different occasions from two different shooters fall out of freaking guns. I have seen it in real-world environments. I've seen it in competitive environments. I've seen it in hunting environments. I've seen it on training ranges. I have seen it constantly, and I've seen it enough that I'm fucking telling you it doesn't cost you anything, even in an emergency load, even in a speed load. When you're inserting a magazine and you put the magazine in, just give a little tug and make sure it's properly inserted. There's a variety of reasons it might have not properly clicked into place, of which I don't have time to get into all of them right now because I don't fucking feel like it. Push the goddamn magazine in and then give it a little tug in any magazine-fed weapon system and make sure that it's properly inserted. You will save yourself one of the most embarrassing, most ridiculous, most stupid fucking mistakes that is so avoidable. You will remove yourself from that equation. I'm telling you, push and pull your magazines. If that's not your habit, make it your habit. You have to practice it a lot to make it your habit if you're not doing it right now. I'm telling you, it will save you. It has saved me countless times. It will save you too. Push and pull your magazine. At the rifle event 2 weekends ago, I watched people insert magazines in a rifle under stress and throw the bolt forward on an empty chamber.
Yep.
Get in position, make that wind call, click. What the fuck? Rack. Click. What the fuck? I can't say anything because I'm on RO, but I'm like, bro, I can tell your magazine not all the way. And then finally they seat the magazine, and boy, didn't that just cost them a lot of time. I am telling you, in any magazine-fed weapon system, push and pull that magazine.
We even had it happen last night.
Yep, twice.
Yeah.
Yep. Two different students. Push, pull your magazines. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. The topic of today, the contents and purpose of a good EDC or everyday carry GHB or get home bag, BOB or bug out bag, or
that was bring your own beer.
That's BYOB, babe.
Oh yeah,
BYOB.
I'm retarded.
This is just BOB. Bring own beer. Very Russian of you, babe.
If you're a caveman,
yeah, bring own beer.
I am retarded.
All the different, you know, the essentials bag, the necessities bag, all the different 72-hour kits. I've heard them called by 1,001 different names. Here's what they are. It is a bag of any various size that is going to get you where you need to go in an emergency. I want to talk about a couple of concepts before I start talking about contents. And I'm not going to be that specific. So if you want more specifics, feel free to email us, info@trainingaz.com. I'm kind of looking at some general concepts right now. The first thing is, what is the purpose of the bag? For before you even worry about contents.
What's your point A to point B?
What is the purpose of the bag? Is this an EDC backpack that's going to get you through your day-to-day? Because if that's it, it's going to have battery chargers and mints and some hand sanitizer and some gum and maybe a little spritz of my cologne and probably an extra pair of socks and, you know, extra power cables for my absolute necessities on the electronic devices that I use. It's going to have that kind of stuff. It's going to have a small med kit. It's going to have a little boo-boo kit. You know, it's going to have a pad and a pen and paper, probably a couple pens. It's going to have all that kind of stuff because that's my daily carry bag. People will confuse their daily carry bags with like, oh, this is my get-home bag. No, it's not. Like those things that I just listed, they just take up too much space. I'm not going to put those in an, oh, my God, it's an emergency get-home bag. I can make a smashed-up amalgam of both of these things, but it doesn't they're not going to be purpose-driven. So what's the purpose of the bag? Is the purpose of the bag the get-home bag, meaning something I carry maybe in my vehicle that's going to get me home? My vehicle breaks down, civil unrest disrupts my route home. I've got to abandon my vehicle for some reason. Get-home bag. I've got bug-out bags. That means I'm leaving forever. I'm not coming back to wherever I'm leaving from. And so my bug-out bag is going to have very different types of stuff in it.
I just want to know if these people plan on loading this stuff up and unloading it every single day, because that's a lot of bags to put in your vehicle.
It is. And so this is the point. Like, figure out what kind of bag you're trying to build here, and let's start with that. Like, I'll be honest with you guys. I don't have a bug-out bag. I don't have a bug-out bag for two reasons. I do have a bug-out bag, but I also don't. Let me explain. I know what to put in a bug-out bag. I have been spending literally my entire life from a small child living out of bags. Drew can tell you when we first got together. I am a fucking expert at living out of a bag. I can live out of a duffel bag or a backpack for months, years. I don't give a shit. I'm not affected by that. It doesn't hurt my feelings.
It does when you try to unpack it.
You try to unpack my bag. Don't touch my fucking shit, lady. All right? This may not be as serious as you think it is. All right? At any moment, the world could catch on fire. Don't touch my shit.
Your laundry soap?
Yeah, don't fucking put my laundry. I put your laundry soap in the laundry. Why the fuck would you do that? I might need that later. Drew and I had a situation when we first got serious dating, and she was trying to unpack my daily carry bag with my clothes and my laundry detergent and my...
Because you're living stuff out of a bag.
Yeah, I was very good at living in a bag. At that point, I've been doing it for a long time, so I'm totally good with it. But the point being is I'm good with that. I know what I need to grab and put in a bag. When we travel to go on a trip, I know exactly what has to go in the bag. How long does it take me to pack my bag?
Maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't take me very long. Do I ever forget anything?
Nope.
Goddamn right I don't. Right? Why? Because I know exactly what goes in my fucking bag. And I double check and make sure that I don't assume. I double check and make sure everything that I need goes in the bag. But I have my equipment staged in smaller bags. This is the bag I need if I'm going with my electronics. This is the bag that I need if I'm going someplace where we're going to be outdoors. This is the bag I need if I need my hygiene stuff. This is the bag I need if I need smaller hygiene stuff. This is the bag I need if I'm, you know, have a trauma kit. This is the bag I need for my boo-boo kit. All my bags are smaller bags. And I use a variety of small bags to organize my stuff, from roll top dry bags.
In your big bag.
Mm-hmm. And I'll use my dry top, or roll top dry bags. The small like necessities bags from Fehu Outdoors. I'm a big fan of those. I love those things for small little items. They're great. Any of those things, right? See-through dry bags. I don't care. Just get some bags. Get some small durable bags. I like to color code my stuff. I have my bags for my clothes, like, my undergarments and my socks go in one bag. Any weather-specific gear goes in another color of bag. And then all my shirts go in another bag. And then pants usually I leave free in my bag. I can pack my bag fucking fast. I'm done. You know, packing my shit is not a problem. Because I've done it for so long. You too have probably packed a lot of bags. So come up with a better system for putting your stuff together. I'm okay with pre-made bug-out bags, but here's my problem with pre-made bug-out bags. I don't have the give-a-shit to pack a bag and leave it alone, thinking that the end of the world is coming and I will not have time to grab it and leave. I'm going to have to leave. I mean, I'm not going to have time to pack my own shit. For me, my bags are in a constant disarray because I'm going to use this bag with some of those essential supplies I just mentioned in separate bags to go on a day hike with the kids. But then when I go hunting, I'm going to use this other bag, and it's also going to have some of those essential bags plus some of these other essential bags, and that's going to go with me on my hunting trip. And because I use the same stuff all the time, then I'm incredibly familiar with what my stuff is, and I'm very familiar with where it's at. And it's stored in a couple different locations. You know, my outdoor stuff is stored outside in the garage. My indoor stuff is stored inside in the bedroom, you know, and then I may have to be, you know, grabbing a couple things, you know, from other storage areas to add. Well, maybe I want to carry some extra ammo. Okay, well, that's going to come over from, you know, this other area. And so I've created this list in my head. You could also just print this list out and hang it up in the garage. Hey, in case of fire, so to speak, these are the things I want in my bag. Maybe I'm not home and Drew has to pack the bag for me. It wouldn't be a bad idea for me to list up, hey, this is all the shit that's got to go in the bag and this is where you find it. My problem with just having a bug out bag sitting there ready to go. I've had that before. I've tried this. I know it doesn't work for me because here's what I want. I want something out of that bag. And everyone's like, well, just buy lots of duplicates. Some of this stuff is hard to duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe financially or just time-wise, or like when I look at what I'm spending my resources on, I'm like, man, I don't want to have to duplicate all that stuff in there. So what I do keep is like in my truck, I have a sort of bug out bag. I have a chest rig from Hill People Gear. Drew's kind of got the same thing where I can grab this, throw it on my chest, and then I've got one of those small collapsible backpacks that I can undo. And now I can put anything I need in there, my food, my water, my, you know, necessary clothing, extra ammo, whatever. I can toss it all in that backpack and boom, I'm ready to roll. I mean, I could be ready to abandon my truck in less than a couple of minutes. People are like, what if it has to be faster than that? Well, then it has to be faster than that. And if it has to be faster than that, I wouldn't have time to grab the fucking pre-made bag anyway. So
at that point, you've already fucked up so much.
Yeah, at this point, I'm probably fucked anyway. So yeah. It's like, be realistic about why you're doing this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're strolling through urban areas all day long and you've got to go into really tough spots and a flash mob that overtakes your vehicle and you having to grab something out of a passenger seat and bail out the door and fucking run for your life. If that's a reality, then yeah, man, pre-build a pretty fucking kick-ass little kit for sure. I also keep, you know, for me personally, like, I've also got body armor under my back seat. I keep that in there as well. It's a very small little tiny set that I keep a couple extra mags on and that's it. So am I going to grab that? I don't know. What's the circumstances? I may literally leave that behind. I don't know what the context is of why I'm setting out on foot from my vehicle.
Yeah.
But my get home bag out of my truck is more of like, okay, I'm leaving my truck. To have a really good get-home bag, it's got to be contextual. Like, it has to be mission-adaptable. And for any of you guys who've spent any amount of time in doing anything, from hunting to uniform service to anything in between or anything, backpacking, whatever, you know you can't just pre-make my backpack. I can't just take a backpack, build a backpack, and go, this is the backpack I use with all this gear every single time. No, because if I don't have a water source, I'm not taking my gravity filter. I'm not doing it. It's a waste of fucking space. If it's not cold, I'm not taking all my cold weather gear, and I'm going to change the sleeping bag that I'm taking. And I may or may not bring a tent or a shelter depending on what the weather is going to be if I'm just going backpacking. It's mission adaptable. And so for me, I want a very, very small kit that I can grab that has the essentials of what I need to do based on what I'm doing. So like as an example, if I'm going to grab my Hill People gear, it's got my GPS transponder so I can communicate with people. It's got an 8-power monocular with a built-in mil reticle. It's got an extra blade. It's got extra batteries. It's got one extra pistol mag. It's got some basic boo-boo supplies. It's got a headlamp. It's got a balaclava. It's got a set of gloves. That's it, really. You know, I've got some other little stuff, pads of paper and pens, little shit like that, like, you know, arbitrary stuff. I got some hemostats in there and a comb and tweezers and again, like boo-boo stuff or whatever. But that's it. Because if I grab that, that's my I need to leave and I might need these tools along the way, right? What am I going to do for water? What am I going to do for food? What am I going to do for all that? That's an entirely different bag. My point to all this, because it's really easy to say, okay, guys, you want a bug out bag? Here's what you should put in a bug out bag. Look at the priority of survival. You want a get home bag? Here's what you would put in a get-home bag. Like, that's not true for everybody. And again, purpose-driven, like, I want to be able to leave an area and maybe not be seen with a giant, massive backpack. So consider, like, what color is your pack? What's it going to look like? What's your pack going to say about you? Are you going to look like you're bugging out? Are you going to look like you're trying to, you know, run from something? Are you going to look like you're, you know, part of the invading force? Are you going to look like you're part of the law enforcement whose cars are currently being burned? Like, what are you going to look like when you bug out or get home or what, EDC or whatever? What does your bag say about you, and how much stuff can you carry and still kind of stay low pro? You know, I'm all for staying low pro until low pro doesn't matter anymore. And when that doesn't matter anymore, kids, we're talking about an entirely different set of rules that we're going to be playing by. And we're talking about an entirely different system of society. And we're talking about an entirely different way our tribes are going to be formed. And we're talking about an entirely different way our neighborhoods are going to be formed. And we're talking about an entirely different way our communities and even our states are going to be operating. So I'm not going to talk about that fantastical shit, because that changes the game completely. If it comes time where it's like, okay, it doesn't matter anymore, we're out there doing long-range reconnaissance patrols and we're, you know, patrolling our neighborhoods or we're patrolling our communities or we're going to fight an invading force or a, you know, insurgency, or we are the insurgency or whatever it may be, look, that's an entirely different ballgame, you guys. That is something totally different. So when people think about this concept, okay, bugging out, for example, I never want to do that unless my primary location is completely compromised, because most of the time staying with my vehicle, most of the time staying in my home is going to be the best option. That's going to carry more stuff. It's going to have better access. It may compromise security because I can't move around as easily in a truck because I can't on foot. But now I got to consider other aspects too. Okay, it's cool. You want to bug out? I get it. You were, you know, Army cool guy back in whatever day, and you could hike fucking 300 miles a week, and you were just a badass up on the sides of mountains in Afghanistan or whatever. I get. You're a fucking awesome guy. What about your kids? What about your girlfriend? What about your wife? What about your friends? Are they? Can they do that? All right. Now let's backtrack a little bit. Take a personal inventory. When was the last time you did that? I could do it again if I had to. Shut the fuck up with that stuff. No, you can't. You cannot just magically do what you want to do. No, 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 no. Trust me, I know. As I've gotten older, I go do things I used to do, and I'm like, wow, that hurts more. Ouch, that's not as easy. I could do it if I had to. No, I can't. I can't still do things like I used to be able to do them. I have hiking, trekking poles now, my friends. All right, because my knees fucking hurt when I go downhill for too long now, okay? Didn't have to worry about that when I was in my early 20s. Now I do. Almost 20 years later, it fucking hurts, okay? Different considerations. Be realistic about what your personal capabilities are. Be realistic about what the people around you. Maybe I get it. You're a lone wolf, individual, whatever. I got it, okay? You're not going to last very long. I'm sorry. You're probably going to die real quick. So let's go back to the more realistic concept of being a tribe or having family or friends or whatever, okay? What's everyone capable of doing? And if you bug out, where are you going to go? People I hear all the time, oh, I got this cabin in this other town. How far away is it? Can you get there on foot? How many days is it going to take you to get there? Can you travel over land? Can you navigate there without using major roads or your GPS system? Can you get there? And if you get there in that, oh my God, end of the world scenario, who's to say it's not already going to be taken over by someone like me? And now you've got to fight me and my people to get inside where your storage area was or whatever. My point being, be realistic about why we're even building these bags to begin with. Be realistic about what you're going to carry in them, and be realistic about how far you're actually able to go with them. In the dead of summer in Arizona, if you hike a ton during the day, you're going to die. You're not going to have enough water to be able to sustain yourself. So you're going to have to hike at night a lot. So now, do you have night observation devices, like night vision, right? Do you have the capability to navigate at night? Do you know how to navigate at night? Can you read a map at night? Do you have maps that can be read at night? Do you understand how all of this works? These are skills you're going to have to consider if you're going to head out on foot. And keep in mind, while everyone's exodusing from these, you know, urban areas trying to get out to the fringes of town, no problem, man. I'm going to be back here looting all y'all's houses. You live in high on the hog, as far as I'm concerned. I have no problem being a warlord of my fucking neighborhood. The problem with leaving is, where are you going to go? And how many other people are going to be there? Anything easily accessible, there's going to be a billion people. And how? What are you going to do when you get there? I'm going to live off the land. You can't even grow a fucking tomato plant in your backyard, and you think you're going to suddenly live off the land? Or maybe you can. Maybe you are a true live off the land guy. You know how to raise a garden. You know how to hunt and capture game. You know how to skin them and dress them out. Awesome. Can you provide enough land and secure enough land for yourself with just you and your tribe that you can provide enough food for everybody for all that time? I'm not saying don't do it. I am saying be realistic about what your capabilities are, right? The average success rate in Arizona for a big game hunter is less than 40%. And that's for people who actively go out and hunt and pursue their craft and have to put into a lottery to get drawn to go hunt this animal. They dedicate a week or so of their life during the year to go do this, and even they don't get one all the time. So just running out into the woods and slaughtering game is not – and you're like, yeah, well, then I have to hunt for this kind of animal. When I go out there, I just kill everything I saw. Cool. How long do you think that's going to last? When you and everyone's doing that.
Yeah.
You know, the only animals that survive that are going to be so deep in the woods, you're never going to find them. So, yeah, you may live pretty high on the hog for the first little bit, but what are you going to do after that? What's your long-term sustainment plan? How are you going to keep the weather out? Remember, everyone wants to go up north. I want to get up north. I want to get up into the woods. Okay, what are you going to do in the wintertime? How are you going to keep yourself warm? How are you going to, like, I'm not saying it's not possible. Our pioneer forefathers did it forever, but that was their lifestyle. That is what they did, and they were good at it. We don't do that. We turn on lights. We flush toilets. We listen to this show on Wi-Fi, for fuck's sake. That's what we do. I get it. You are a hard ass, and you might really be. And for that, I'm grateful that you're out there.
But are you teaching your skills to other people in your tribe?
What about all the people around you? Are they as capable as you are? Mm-hmm. How often are you practicing your craft? Any skill not practiced is absolutely perishable. These are all things to consider when we're looking at what the purpose of these bags are to begin with. Is it just my everyday carry bag? I just want to use it to carry mints and battery chargers and maybe a small, you know, med kit and some pens and a flashlight around with me. Awesome. Then keep it purpose-driven. Is it a get-home bag? I'm going to grab it out of my truck and throw it across my back. Again, what am I going to look like? Who's going to see me? What's the perception I'm giving out? Is it a bug-out bag? I'm running away from home forever? I mean, think about everyone's ideas of what's important is hilarious. Remember when you were a kid and you were going to run away from home? Everyone was going to at some point in time. I'm going to run away from home for whatever reason. Like, I'm sorry if it was like you had like an abusive childhood and you really had to like run away from home to fucking save your life. That is a horrible story. But me, I just wanted to run away from home because like, you know, my mom got upset with me because I didn't do my chores or something like that. I'm like, that's it. I'm out of here, right? And one time I actually did run away from home. You ever heard the story, Drew?
I don't think so.
So I was about 5 years old. And my dad went to work on a weekend. He went to go help a friend of ours roof their home, put some roofing on their home. And I wanted to go, but my dad was like, man, my dad always was good about taking me places with him. But he was like, dude, we're going to be on a roof all day, you know, like it just is not a place for a little tiny kid, you know. And then we're going to be throwing stuff off the roof and hauling stuff up on the roof. And he just didn't want to have to, you know, he knew that that was going to prevent him from being effective at doing this work. And he's like, ah, another time, buddy, you know. So he leaves me home. I was very upset. So he left, and I left too. I ran after him. But I knew I wasn't supposed to cross the street without an adult.
Oh, I think your mom
and I just ran around the fucking city block. Yeah, yeah. We lived in an urban environment at the time, and I just ran around the same city block. And so I probably ran in front of our own house several times, and then one of the neighborhood girls saw me. It was like early on a Saturday morning. She's like, hey, Clint, what are you doing out here? Get back to your house. She takes me home. My mom's like, oh, my God, where were you? And I'm like, I'm running away. I'm out of here. You can't control me. Be ungovernable. But I wasn't supposed to cross the street without an adult. So I was good. I didn't cross the street without an adult. I just ran around the city block. So, yeah, that'll happen. So that's my big runaway story. We all thought about running away. What did I take with me then? Probably like a toy because that's what was important to me at the time. And so even now, when people think about running away, when people go into the woods, I mean, how many hunters do you know who are like, I'm so experienced, I'm an outdoorsman, I killed 862 deer in my lifetime, I've spent 4,652 nights on the ground. Where's your trauma kit? I don't carry a trauma kit, bro. I've never needed one. Oh, okay, cool. So you're telling me you go into the deep, deep woods without any way to keep yourself alive? That sounds pretty dumb, but okay, you do you. Do you know how many people you run into that do that shit? A lot. How many people go to the range with guns and shit and don't have a medical kit? So when people think about what's necessary, they often are thinking about what's necessary and what's important based on systems existing to save or support them. They don't want to call search and rescue. They don't want to call 911. They don't want to have to call that, but they know that the system exists. A big lesson that I was reminded of this by was when our friend Neil was in the studio with us, and this has been a couple of years ago, but our friend Neil was in the studio with us and to talk with us about working alongside and then fighting alongside the Peshmerga. And one of the things that Neil came to a realization, I might butcher this story, so Neil, if you're listening, I apologize, I butcher your story a little bit, but I'm going to get the gist of it. And the gist of it was he went into this area and organization to help train the Peshmerga and eventually ended up in the field with them. And in his first real engagement, he had come from conventional army units. I think he was like the 4th ID, if I remember correctly. He did a tour or two to Iraq or something like that. And so he he's with the Pesh and it's like gunfight time, right? Like, oh shit, there's the enemy. We're about to fight it out. And Neil takes a quick inventory and he's like, I'm with a team that's full of several different nationalities. We don't all share the same language. No one really has great medical training or medical supplies. I have like 3 mags, if I remember the story. You know, he's like, yeah, I have 3 fucking magazines with me.
Yeah.
And that's it, man. There is no air support. There is no QRF. There is no artillery. There is no fallback position. If we get overrun or surrounded here, they're going to fucking kill us. Like I don't have anyone to call for help. And that isolation that he felt there, he talks about, really changed the way that he saw engagements from there on out. And, you know, whereas in the conventional military, you're like, hey, that looks like a dangerous place. Let's roll over there and see if we can start some trouble. Because if we get into a big time fight, no big deal. We'll just, you know, arty, or we'll call some air support, or, you know, whatever. You know, we have some kind of, you know, overhead support already. You know what I mean? We got a freaking gunship watching our back or whatever, right? Or, hey, we'll call QRF, or, hey, we'll fall back to this position. And there's a whole bunch of us and we got a bunch of ammo and we all speak the same language. And we have high-tech equipment. We have a great medics and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, Neil was like, shit, man, I really understood like what an insurgent feels like. Like, I have what I'm carrying on my body and outside of that, nothing is a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
When people are thinking about their bug outs, their get homes, or whatever, that's typically not what they're thinking about. To them, in their heads, because we've all, as Americans, grown up with these systems. We've grown up with the support. In the back of our minds, we're still always thinking, we'll have that support. We'll have that capability. Somebody will be there to help us. Plan like they won't. That's where I think the purpose-driven thing really gets off kilter with people. They're not planning like it's over. Look, guys, if I'm abandoning my truck, it's not because it's broken down on the side of the road. I can call a tow truck for that. If I'm abandoning my truck and I'm gathering up the supplies that I'll need, thinking I'll never see my truck again, and I may never see this part of the area again, and along the way I may have to evade or fight for my life, you guys, those are incredibly dire circumstances. My primary concern at that point was, will my family still be alive when I get there? And if they're scattered around, if I got kids at school and Drew's at the gym and whatever, whatever, how am I going to gather everybody together? These are dangerous circumstances that we're considering. When people start running their mouth about get-home bags and bug-out bags, I really honestly believe they have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. And they've never been in a situation like that. I'm not saying they all haven't been. I'm saying most of them haven't. And I know because I see what they put in their bags. I see the contents of the stuff. And it's not based on that reality. So if you're going to build those kinds of kits, base it on that reality. Kits, I think, are more appropriate. Would be something more like a 72-hour kit. I need to leave my home for a short period of time. And I may not be able to come back to it, not because the Russians have invaded, but rather because an area flooded or a hurricane hit or a tornado hit or whatever, right? I need to grab these essential items. What are those essential items? So to me, this is not a bug out bag. This is more of like a 72-hour kit. I do not believe the two are the same. A 72-hour kit is the system will continue. A bug out bag is the system will not continue. The system is over, and it's time to now. We have to live off the land and fight for our land and do all that kind of stuff. So if I'm just leaving on a temporary basis or at least going somewhere where I could rebuild my life if a tornado wipes my house off the planet, everything in that bag now is going to be based on a continuation of the system, meaning I'm going to have a flash drive in there with all my important documents scanned to it, my marriage certificate, my social security numbers, social security cards of all the kids, Drew's, our birth certificates, immunization records, you know, high school diplomas, DD-214s, everything I'm going to need to potentially live for the rest of my life, a continuation of the – if I'm bugging out, why the fuck would I put that in a bag? Who the shit's going to care about my social security? Think I'm going to care about my social security card? No. So again, when you hear people talking about these different things – this is the problem. They're like, yeah, and in your bug out bag, you should always have, you know, important documents and, you know, some cash. Cash for buying what? Motherfucker, I'm taking what I need at that point. I have guns. If you don't, I'm taking your fucking shit. If you're not part of my tribe, I'm sorry. You're not part of my tribe. I'm not paying you with cash. We can barter. Sure, we can Oregon Trail this shit. But no, I don't care about cash because no one's going to care about cash at that point if I'm bugging out. No one's going to care about important documents. And for whatever comes afterwards, whatever society we rebuild, there will be no social security system. It won't matter whether or not you have your high school diploma. Those things won't matter. So a lot of times you can look at what people are, you know, recommending putting in their kit and just go, is this based on a continuation of the system or not? A 72-hour kit, that's a good thing to have. It's got maybe a couple pairs of clothes. It's got your basic hygiene items. Again, battery packs, things that would make you comfortable. And the same thing for your kids. And my kids, you know, kits, I'm going to put, you know, a stuffed animal for them. I'm going to put a toy for them, maybe like a new Lego set. Go down to the store, buy a couple new Lego sets, toss them in there, you know. A couple of games, some books, you know, change of clothes for them, hygiene items for them. You know, a continuation of normal life is going to happen. A bug out bag is not that. A get home bag is not that. That is when society has failed you and things are horrible now. And all I'm going to care about in those bags is the seven priorities of survival. That's it. And my own personal safety, you know. So it's more important that we look at when we're considering those elements. It's more important to look at the purpose of the bag. And I think that's where people fail it a lot. So like I said, specific items, whatever, man. I could sit here and go, this is the best filter and this is the best this, but that may not apply to you. So what are the seven priorities of survival, right? Well, we say stop or safety, right? My personal safety. Stopping is literally stop, think, observe, and plan, STOP, stop, think, observe, and plan. And that has to do with my safety. So within stop and safety, I'm going to be putting in, you know, extra ammunition potentially, or, you know, my personal defense weapons or whatever. This is my safety for me and my people. Then food, water, shelter, fire, first aid, and signaling or communications. Those are the other priorities in no specific order. I'm going to prioritize which one of those is most important based on the context of the bag. In Arizona, for example, water's priority number one. How am I going to get water? I've got tubing. I've got straws. I've got a couple different filters. Water is a priority. I may have to literally be sucking or pumping, siphoning. I carry a siphon hose in my quote-unquote get-home bag because I might have to siphon water from that area over there, that little drainage ditch I can't reach by hand or that little crack or crevice in the rock. I may have to filter from there up to the space where I can actually filter, or siphon, I mean, up to the space where I can actually filter it. This is in Colorado where water just like is everywhere.
Flows everywhere, yeah.
Right? And that's not even all parts of Colorado, but in the more watery parts of Colorado. So how I even prioritize things is going to be based on the context of the bag. What goes in the bag is all going to be based on the context of what I'm trying to do. If I'm bugging out, leaving my home forever, and never coming out because society has failed me and I am now taking me and my family and we have to leave because our security is compromised if we stay, and I'm now going to go into the wilds and live off the land, very different things are going to be taken. I need guns for everybody. I need extra parts for guns. I need tools so when I get where I'm going, I can build shit. No one ever fucking thinks about that. How many people have hammers, saws, tape measures, levels in their bug out bags? Nobody I know, except for the people that are in my tribe. But that's what I'm going to need, man. If I'm going to go live off the land, I'm going to need to build some shit. And someone's like, don't worry, I got this 1,800 thing in one multi-tool. That thing's going to break. It's a piece of shit, I guarantee it. You need real tools, man, like pioneer shit. And you don't know how to mine ore out of the ground probably and smelter it down and make your own tools. You probably don't know that. If you don't know that, maybe you should figure that part out. Maybe that would be more important if you don't want to carry all these other heavy tools. But how many people do you know? How many bug out bags do you see listed that have tools in them? The context is lost on these people. They think military ruck. Again, what is a military ruck? My military friends, you had a fucking support system. You got resupplied. You were out there. I know sometimes it was hard. You didn't get as many MREs as you wanted or whatever. It's very, very hard life. You knew in the end, if you were still alive, you were going back to the system. A military three-day assault pack, a military ruck. I don't care if it was a fucking six-month LERP, okay? Whatever badass you are. Whatever it was, you knew you were going back to a system that supported you. And a lot of times that system that supported you came to you. It airdropped shit. It resupplied you. You had something that got you more supply. We're talking about bugging out means forever gone, removing yourself from the system. I'm not going to need 10,000 rounds of ammo, but I'm really going to need a hammer and a saw because I'm going to have to build some shit. I'm going to need nails. You know, I'm going to need tools to build stuff, all kinds of things, whether it's shelter or infrastructure or whatever. I'm going to need a shovel, a real shovel, not your e-tool, right? I see that kind of shit hanging off. Oh, I got my e-tool just in case. Man, every time I see someone glorify an e-tool, I'm like, you didn't dig a lot with an e-tool, did you? I'll fill sandbags with it. Okay, go dig me a hole with an e-tool and then tell me how much you love an e-tool. I will take a short-handled shovel strapped to the side of my pack over an e-tool any fucking day. Do I keep a short-handled shovel in the back of my truck? Do I keep a pickaxe in the back of my truck? If I have to no shit abandon my truck and it's the end of the fucking world, I'm taking tools with me. I have a whole fucking tool set in my truck. I've got tape measure, level, hammers, nails, everything. I've got it all. Because if I have to leave my truck in an oh my God situation, like this is the end of the fucking world and the zombie riots are happening or whatever, and I have to leave my truck because it's no longer a viable option, I am taking tools with me. I know they're heavy. I know it's going to suck. But that's more important to me than how many rounds of ammo I can carry. Because all the rounds of ammo in the world aren't going to do me any good if when I get where I'm going, I can't build something for my family and I can't take care of myself. So context drives everything. You know, my laptop case here is my everyday carry bag. It's got some mints and some gum and some power cables in it. My laptop, my calendar is a very important thing to me. A small first aid kit, an actual trauma kit, a flashlight. That's what it's got in there. Some business cards is important. It's important stuff to have for me. It's not based on, oh my God, end of the world stuff. The priorities of my survival there are very different than the priorities of survival if I'm leaving my house forever. I feel like this show is more of a rant than anything else.
Probably.
Sorry about that, guys. I grew up, and some of you guys have heard this before, but like I was incredibly, incredibly privileged to grow up how I did. I grew up with a no-shit mountain man. My great-grandfather helped settle the wild Tetons of Jackson, Wyoming. My family name is all over the history of that place. We literally helped settle the area. We had the first big game guide hunting business in Teton County. You know, my grandfather or my great-grandfather, you know, wrote stories for Outdoor Life about snowshoeing back into the Tetons and killing grizzlies and then packing everything up for the winter and, you know, living out the winter and, in canvas-sided tents and, you know, and then hiking out in the spring. And I just after hunting grizzlies all winter, like crazy shit, like real mountain man shit. And then that's how my grandfather grew up. And that's how my father grew up. I did not grow up in that environment. I was born in Jackson. I didn't spend the majority of my life there. And so – but those are the people I was raised by. That's my father. See how he raised me. I was exposed to things as a kid from survival aspects and hunting aspects that I can't replicate. I try to replicate it. You know, how my father hunts elk, for example, is fucking insane. It's fucking insane. It's cool. Like I watch guys when they're like, yeah, you know, I handcrafted this traditional bow and then I snuck within 10 yards of this bull elk while he slumbered and I killed him with it. And I'm like, that's fucking hunting. Jesus, that's awesome. I love that kind of shit. And I'm just as happy as some guy who shoots something 600 meters. I don't give a fuck. It's awesome. Get out there and hunt, man. It's rad. The way to watch my father communicate with elk, it's the craziest thing you've ever seen. He tastes them. I can't explain it completely. He knows them. He can go into an area and he just knows. And I absorbed all that I could as a kid. And to this day as an adult, I will say I'm pretty fucking good at finding them. You know, Drew's first time Drew went hunting with us, how many elk did we get on? Fuckload. Like,
yeah, every single time we went out, we saw some.
First time Drew's been that close to a bull elk. I mean, I got Drew and my oldest son, Garrett, real freaking close to a bull elk. I mean, I've literally been spitting distance from elk while they bugled. It's an amazing capability. I was raised in that way. I was raised in the woods. I was raised spending overnights out of a knapsack. I was raised doing that kind of stuff with my father. I was raised with a sense of independence. I was raised with a sense of taking care of yourself because no one is ever going to take care of you. That is how I was raised by my father. My father would lose me on purpose and then he would observe me from a distance. I didn't find this out till I was an adult. And he would just watch for a long time. Long time. I would have a fire and a shelter built before he came strolling up. Hey, boy, get lost. No, I'm right where you told me to be, Dad. Yeah, you are. Good job. Now pack it up and let's get out of here. That's how I was raised. Those are the experiences that I've had. I could talk all day about some of the crazy shit that I did with my father. That was very formed me very much so. I learned very much at an early age, no one is going to save you. You have to save yourself. I know not everybody has those types of experiences. That type of lifestyle for most people now is a fucking Hollywood movie. It's a dream. It's a book. It's a story. It's an article in a magazine. It's just not real anymore. You know, I can't express enough how out of touch we've all become with these ideas of truly living out of the system. Look at the dependencies that we already have on the system. Look at your own individual dependencies that you have on the system and start figuring out ways to remove yourself from that. And I mean that's everything. My veterans, listen the fuck up. Because a lot of you guys are more dependent on the system than you fucking ought to be. God damn it. You, out of everybody, should fucking know how to fucking not rely on someone else to take care of you. No one is coming to save you. Quit relying on other people to save you. You are capable. You are strong and you are powerful and you can take care of yourself. You don't need this fucking system that we have. You don't need it. Be very careful about who you bend your knee to. Be very careful about who you rely on. And people say, well, it's fine. I know I have this, but I could, you know, I don't need that. I just get that every month, for example. And, oh, I don't need it. Yeah, you fucking do. And now they got you. And if you think that you're on my side of the fence, I'm sorry, you're not. Don't rely on someone else to pay your bills. Don't rely on someone else to take care of you. Don't rely on someone else to keep you safe. Don't rely on someone else to do shit. It's fine to pay for some services and have someone come over and fix your car or whatever. I'm not talking about that. You should know how to do that, like I was talking about in the very early part of the show. But literally, stop relying on these big systems. They are crippling us. Look around. It is destroying our people. It has destroyed our people. Maybe that's more the rant than the other thing. I don't know. Teach the people around you what you know. There was a time. Right. All right. That's it. I'm all ranted out. That wasn't even that much of a rant. Kind of a show, half rant today. I want people to take care of themselves.
And if you're going to build kits for other people, make sure they know how to use the tools inside those kits or bags. Because I think that's also a big thing is, I mean, we saw it this weekend with a couple of people, or actually this weekend and last weekend when we were out at the rifle match. So many people carry stuff and tools in their tool bags and don't know how to utilize those tools. And it's not necessarily like actual tools, but med kits, I mean, anything, GPS, like spot trackers, any of that kind of stuff. People are like, oh yeah, I have it, but I don't really know how to use it very well. And it's like, if you're going to have all this stuff in your tool bag, make sure you know how to use every single one of those items intimately. In case you have to do it under not so very good circumstances. If it's pouring rain or hailing or it's blazing hot and you're dehydrated or it's another type of medical emergency or anything like that, make sure you're familiar with all these tools so you can properly know how to use them so you don't get panicked yourself and freak out and get frustrated because something's not working.
Not everybody that listens to the show knows a lot about independence training, but independence training, kind of in the name, when I started it many, many years ago, the name of the company was specifically designed for two reasons. One, I wanted to give other people independence. I wanted them to break out of the thought that someone else had to take care of them, that someone else had to be there for them to survive or be safe. And the second part of that was that I wanted to give myself independence. I didn't want to have to be part of a system anymore that traded me dollars per hour at the cost of my dreams. In the ethos of the company, it says what we're about. And that's confidence, self-reliance, and American spirit. My idea then is the same that it is now, that Americans have a great history and a great tradition of taking care of ourselves, of being self-reliant and being confident in our capabilities. And that has been eroded by design over the years, slowly and surely. If I could reignite that American spirit, I wanted to be a part of that. And that's why I got involved in training in the first place. It accidentally became my full-time job. I did not ever want this to be my full-time job. It just happened. I know that so many of you out there have the same exact passion that I have. You have the same exact desire to help people that Drew and I have. You have the same exact skill sets, even better than what all our staff here has in independence training. You have these experiences. You have these skill sets. You have valuable things that you can do, that you can help yourself and you can help your family and you can help your tribe. Don't ever forget that. Put that shit to work. You don't need someone else to take care of you. Start looking at the systems in your life you can remove yourself from. You guys have questions? You guys have great tips? You think I really missed something today, or I just didn't quite get in the vein you were looking for? Shoot me over a message, info@trainingaz.com. You know me, I'm always happy to hear your comments, your feedback, your questions. No problems whatsoever. Independence training moment actually kind of ties in with today. And that is, what did Drew and Glenn do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? We've mentioned this sort of kind of before, but this is more even more pointed than it was before. We kind of – before we talked about like our plan to get out of any kind of debt, and then we put that plan into big effort and effect. And so this last week, we started really planning more for the future to not just maximize positive impact of the income that we have, but also to have some fun with it, to remember that our life isn't just –
work and
being secure financially, but death. That there's more to it than that. And we already do a pretty good job of, having trips and having fun and stuff like that. But just looking at some other options on, how to maximize what we're doing to make sure that we're not just working all the time. Because that's just as easily a system that will grab you. Even if it's self-employment, even if you're just stacking money in your own pocket, that system will also steal your independence away from you. Independence Training Moment brought to you by independencetraining.com or trainingaz.com. A little easier there. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email, info@trainingaz.com. Headed out to confirmed Minnesota again in June. First weekend of June, we'll be back in Minnesota. Teaching defensive,
guys.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Teaching defensive handgun, IFAC Lifesaver, and our Stop the Bleed program up there. Also headed back to Terre Haute, Indiana in September for our Entangled handgun class. So any of our listeners close to or near those areas know that those are a couple travel dates that we've already got up on the schedule. Everything else, of course, right here in good old sunny Arizona. And we've got all kinds of great programs coming up on the schedule over the next year. We've got a lot of stuff planned out year long. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, and MRC Phoenix. And don't forget, every Monday and Wednesday night, MRC Phoenix weekly runs. Monday night's going to be out in Mesa at Chupacabra Tap Room at 6 p.m. And Wednesday night runs now at Phoenix Beer Co. at 6 p.m. The Phoenix Beer Co. that's just off of the 101 and what is that? The 101 and Indian School.
Via de Ventura.
Via de Ventura. So that Phoenix Beer Co. right there. 6 p.m. You don't have to be a great runner. We have runners that show up that aren't an amazing runner. Shit, half of them walk it. You know what I mean? Not half of them, but those people who aren't great runners half the time walk it is what I meant to say. And that's okay. You can run a little, walk a little, bring your dogs. We don't care. Come out, enjoy it, get some good physical fitness. Just bring your family. We've got, a couple who comes out and runs. They've got a baby in a stroller, don't be afraid to come out and join us for these runs. They're not super intense. You don't have to do the full 5K. You can run half of it. You can walk half of it. One of our runners last week walked it because he just finished a marathon and he was like, running's not feeling good for me right now. So I'm just going to walk it out and stretch my legs. And obviously he's a more than capable runner. He had a great, PR for his marathon and it was awesome. It's okay to come out and run it. And then we drink a couple beers afterwards, say goodnight and go home. So come out and enjoy some time with us. Always a good time to get out there and get physically fit. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Don't forget to check out the other things that this network does in addition to just have podcasts. They have so many great publishing and media services. Next week, we are going to kind of dive into how to practice and improve a skill, any skill really, but how to practice it and how to improve it. Okay, you went to the training class or you've got this skill set, you're trying to figure out how do I get better? How do I analyze? How do I figure out what I'm supposed to be improving? How do I set standards? How do I measure those standards? We're going to be looking at all of that next week. So until then, stay safe and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.